Before we look at our text this morning, I would be remiss if I didn't say a public thank you to Colonel Jeffrey Hawkins for that excellent sermon last Sunday on baptism. What a thrill it was to be able to baptize four people from our congregation. And if you're interested in baptism, please see us. We'll do it again and would like to include you. But what a powerful, clear, simple message on baptism. And just appreciate Jeff and Lori's ministry. And, of course, you know that they're part of Fred and Sue's family. Someone did ask me in board meeting the other night, says, if we put him on staff, does that mean that they'll come to church more often rather than going to all these other churches that they visit? And but they got a lot of folks in South Carolina that call on them to fill in here and there. And people were just saying, we want you at home as much as possible. Stand together with me, please. We're going to continue as Pastor James talks to us. And we look in chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider that a great forest is set on fire by a single spark. The tongue is also a fire. The world of evil among the parts of the body, it corrupts the whole body and it sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh water. Precious Lord, this morning, help us as we look at your word. James is a very practical book that's written to a church out of which many other churches were impacted, a church nonetheless that needed to know how to live in you and with one another. May we be the kind of church, Father, that lives in you and lives with one another in such a way that we bring honor and glory to you. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Today, the climate of words and the power of the tongue. In this season that we're in, that is known as the political campaigns or election season, we hear words spoken. And many of those words are described with the adjective lies. Lies. Lawsuits take place everywhere due to words and slander. And sadly, very sadly, in an embarrassment to the United States of America, lies told by swimmers in Brazil the other night for drunken activity have set about an international incident that really has overpowered the games. I believe that there'll be a new phrase that will come out of the Olympics known as the Lochte lie. And Lochte is, I've seen him, I've read the two different statements that he's printed that were statements of a a hit at trying to apologize, or I was misunderstood or misquoted. And then I saw a portion of the interview last night. Some of you might have seen it, where he said that he exaggerated the truth, or he overemphasized, overembellished things. That's the lofty lie. Make note. He's just preparing to be a politician. One day he may run for president. I read a quote this week. The tongue is but 3 inches long, yet it can kill a man 6 feet high. Mistakes of the tongue have destroyed more people, ruined more marriages, cost more businessmen their jobs and their future than any other kind of mistake and any other muscle in the body. In the light of that, our prayer should be this: Lord, teach me to control my tongue. And Lord, teach me that my ears aren't garbage cans for someone else to deposit worthless trash. The book of James in the New Testament talks to us about the tongue, and he does it in very direct ways. He lets us know that it can be, the tongue as it's used, can either be a delight or it can be a destroyer. Here's some words that we could use and phrases that we could use that would delight rather than destroy. Words or phrases like please, thank you, I'm sorry, I'm proud of you, I'm praying for you, I love you, I believe in you. Rather than words that tear down, to where we say, they did this to me, or they're so-and-so. Maybe you heard the example of Robert E. Lee, the great general in the Civil War. There was a reporter that had asked him that he had heard that one of the officers under Lee's command had made some very mean-spirited remarks about him. Lee was asked what he thought about that officer. He took a moment to ponder, and he says, I find that officer to be very satisfactory. The person who was asking the question seemed troubled. But General, I guess you don't know what he's been saying about you. He said, oh yes, I know. But I was asked my opinion of him, not his opinion of me. Controlling the tongue is one of life's greatest challenges. Somebody has observed that the reason that we like dogs so much, and they're friends to many, is they wag their tail more than they do their tongue. Three traits that we see here in Scripture this morning. Notice, first of all, that the tongue is very small, but it's very powerful. In comparison to an Arabian stallion, it's quite small. In a comparison to an aircraft carrier, it's quite small. Words are like dynamite, though. If they're used in the right place, at the right time, in the right way, they can bring benefit and something can be constructed from. But if they're used improperly, they will, and in the wrong place, at the wrong time, in the wrong way, they will blow up and destroy. In verse 2 of our passage this morning, we all stumble in many ways, and anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. The tongue, small but powerful. It's also small, but very dangerous. Many of you probably remember the story of what took place over 100 years ago, the Great Chicago Fire. Did you know that that fire was started by a single cow? Mrs. Leary's cow was throwing a tantrum in his stall, and he kicked the lantern that hit the straw, and the spark from that caused the barn to catch fire, and it spread, and eventually almost the entire city was burned down, all from the kick of a cow. A tongue is like Miss Lucy's cow. Our words will display who we are and what's in our heart. Luke was saying this in Luke 6:35. A good man out of the good treasure of heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of it the evil treasure of his heart. That's brought forth that which is evil. But the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What's in the well comes out in the water. What's in the tree comes out in the fruit. What's in the heart comes out through the tongue. Our words can delight others. They can refresh and encourage them to hang in there and keep going. They can bring new life to dead situations. And remember the Greek word for courage, as we talked about in courage, the definition is, it's to pour life into. God uses the muscle of the tongue and the words that come out of that to pour life into. The power of life into someone. In Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. And I would go dot, 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 your choice. The stakes are high. We can speak life or we can speak death. We can build one another up or we can tear them down. It's been said, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events. Shallow or small minds discuss people. In Proverbs 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. Words to the wise. In the passage this morning, Pastor James uses four metaphors or four examples, simple examples, to talk about the power of the tongue. And how it can be used either to build something up or used to destroy. The first example that he uses in verse 3 is a bit that's put into a horse's mouth. It's put in by its owner or its trainer. That metal bit is small in size, but through that metal bit put in his mouth and his teeth and tied to the reins, it can control that powerful animal. It can direct him to go to the right. It can direct him to go to the left. It can direct him to stop. It can direct him to go in the direction that you want to do. That bit, when it used correctly, can provide control and enjoyment and safety. That bit not used at all, or not installed at all, or used incorrectly, can make it to where the horse would not go in the direction that you want it to go. If you want the horse to go at all, you don't pull on the rein all the way to the right. The horse is going to keep going in a circle that way. And if he keeps going in a circle that way, eventually he's going to get so frustrated and mad, he's going to kick you off. All because the one who had control of the bit wasn't using it correctly. The second example that James uses is the rudder on a boat. A rudder is small. It's usually at the back end of the boat. It controls the direction of a large ship. Our tongue controls our lives. If you would look at the example of two of the largest aircraft carriers that we have in the world, the Nimitz and the Dwight D. Eisenhower, and I know that there's been some that have come out that are even bigger, the Ronald Reagan and the Gerald Ford. But these two particular ones are over 1,000 feet long. They travel at over 30 knots an hour. They're powered by engines that will produce over 280,000 horsepower. And each of these carriers is manned by a crew of over 6,100 people. As big as these ships are, they're both turned by one person steering a rudder that is 1/1,000th of the size of the ship. That tiny rudder changes the direction of those great ships. It can steer it into safety, or it can steer it into calamity. Remember the Italian cruise ship not too many years ago? The captain was partying and not paying attention, and somebody in his crew steered that big cruise ship right off of the water's edge, right off of Civita di Vecchia, Italy, and that great cruise ship turned over, and a great many lost their lives. The rudder of that ship was not under control in such a way that it would lead to safety. Rather, it led to death. The bit controls a wild horse. A rudder controls a ship. It fights against the winds and the currents and the waves. It steers us away from, hopefully, the rocks and other danger. It must be under the control of a strong hand. And the strong hand that really needs to control the rudder of a ship and really needs to control the bit that controls the horse, really needs to control our lives, is the Lord Jesus Christ. When He is controlling the bit, when He is controlling the rudder, when He is controlling the other two examples here, we find that there's safety and there's benefit. But when He's not in control, death and calamity and destruction happen. The third example that they use is fire. I had told you a little earlier the example of that lady's cow overturning a lantern and it caused the great fire in Chicago. Just as one small fire can ignite and destroy an entire forest, or as we saw in the news, one person burning when it was illegal to burn in California has been charged with arson and destruction of property for so far 17 homes in one of the fires that's burning out of control in California. And there are many, many others. And we need to pray, as much as we're praying for Louisiana, we need to pray for California and Oregon and Nevada, where they're having incredible fires that are out of control. James here is pretty strong. In fact, it's probably the strongest phrase, the strongest verse in all of his passage this morning is when he talks about fire. He tells us that if our tongues are set on fire, they are really set on fire by hell, not heaven. Is the tongue used to burn up someone by what words are said in the manner that they've said? That didn't come from the heart of God. Earlier this week, I had to go into the store, and I was in Best Buy over at Northwoods Mall looking for a part that I needed to try to get our computer stuff set up at where we're living right now. As I was in there in this one aisle, I was looking at connectors and just paying attention to what I was doing, but on the next aisle over was a man and a woman that met each other, and evidently they did not go to the same church, but they were of the same or the similar faith. They greeted one another. It was obvious their two families knew each other. The volume of their voices was not like this. It was more like this. And they continued to talk. After the greeting, it went downhill from there. The lady brought up someone's name. He said, "Have you heard the latest?" "No." He proceeded to tell her the latest. And this is with me and two other people in the aisleway where we were, one aisle away, and somebody on the end over here looking at TVs. There was a lot of people whose ears were hearing stuff that we had no business hearing and really didn't want to hear. Well, he finished telling her about that situation. And then he asked her about somebody. And she proceeded to give him the latest on that one. After hearing those two stories, I just turned around and walked out of Best Buy. I never did buy what I was going to buy. Because I was like, you know, I don't need to listen to this. I just came in here to get an adapter. I didn't come in here to get garbage. Pastor, are you not being guilty of what they were doing? No, they were just giving a great sermon illustration that makes all of us aware of the fact loose lips sink ships and words have life and words have the power of death. The people that they were talking about were not there to defend themselves. You were only hearing one portion of the story. And I would imagine that it was one portion of the story that had been told from this person to that person to that person to that person to that person, and it finally wound up with these two individuals that were talking. It had gone all the way around the world until it wound up in that aisle in Best Buy. Folks, if we can't say something good about someone else, don't say it at all. You know, it's just not worth it. One little spark can burn down a whole house. One callously said word or phrase can destroy a life. And it all may just be innuendo. You know, the news works in such a way that if someone is accused of something and these charges are come up, it's all on page one. But when they find out that what was said or what they were accused of, that they're either found innocent of, the apology doesn't come back on page one of the top of the fold. It winds up on page nine at the bottom of the fold in the little left-hand corner underneath an ad that you can't hardly see. Our world can't handle the truth. Remember the phrase, sticks and stones break my bones, but words can never hurt me? I don't believe that phrase for a minute. Words will break our hearts. Words malicely used will break our spirits. They'll cause us to question our worth. They'll cause us to question our call. They'll cause us to question whether we have any value at all. In the church, he says here in James 3:11, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? It is hard, in fact, it's impossible, for someone to say that they're a Christian and to speak praises to God in one moment and destroy someone else with their tongue in the next. Oh, well, that's never happened. There's a hymn in every hymn book of almost every denomination, and I won't tell you the hymn. When I was doing research on this, I found out that the hymn writer wrote the song, the great affirmation of faith. But then it went on to say that in the next year after they wrote that, they attacked the evangelist John Wesley and destroyed his character by the very words that they were saying, calling him what really amounted to a worthless messenger. And when I saw that, I'm like, man, I never want to sing that song again. Fresh water and salt water don't come from the same spring. Christians ought to be speaking affirmation and godly things to one another, not, have you heard the latest? God, through James, is calling us to be consistent. He's calling us to speak life, not death. He's not calling us to double speak, to speak one way on Sunday and another way on Monday. He's calling us to be aware of our tongue and how that one little muscle has the power of life and death to either bring life or destroy. Maybe you heard about the woman who was diagnosed with a very serious throat condition. The doctor told her that her vocal cords badly needed total rest, and she was forbidden to talk for 6 months. Six. Here's the rest of the story. She was married and had 6 children at home. Can you follow a doctor's orders? Here's what she did. When she needed her kids, she blew a whistle. When she needed to communicate with her husband or her children, she had a pad of paper and she wrote out notes of what her request was, or her instruction was, or what her need was. After 6 months, her voice returned. She was asked, how were you able to make it through that? How are you able to communicate only in writing? This is what she said, and I quote, "You'll be surprised how many notes I crumpled up and threw in the trash before I gave them to anyone. Because seeing my words on paper before anyone heard them had an effect that I do not think I will ever forget. If we saw what we said, would we know that it's destroying or building someone up? The fourth example that he uses is building one another up. We choose life. We speak life. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life come from the power of the tongue." We need to pray like the psalmist prayed in Psalms 19:14, "Let the meditations of my mouth, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now we come back to where we started this morning. Remember, the tongue is but 3 inches long, but it can kill a man 6 foot tall. Mistakes of the tongue have destroyed more people, ruined more marriages, cost more businessmen their jobs and their futures, and I would add to it, split up families and churches than any other muscle in the whole body. In the light of that, let's stand together. Our prayer this morning ought to be this. Precious Lord, teach me to control my tongue. And teach me that my ears are not garbage cans for someone else's worthless trash. It's better to walk away and not say than it is to stay and hear junk. But Lord, I also thank you for the blessing that you give us in numbers. And that is our benediction this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. We ask this in your name, and God's people said, amen. God bless you.